Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi to Mai.
Hi to Mai, everyone. Now, today we have a wonderful topic to do with our beautiful planet, or we hope to keep beautiful, and it's very, I guess, topical right now.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, today's topic is biodiversity.
Yes.
In the garden, Karen, or like over the whole planet?
Everywhere. It's everywhere. That's what I've learnt. And I said to Selena, guys, I said to her, look, I feel like another informative session is due. And I could see Selena sort of, but this one has had, you know, when I did ecosystems a while back.
Yes.
And then I did agroforestry.
Yeah.
Or we did.
Yeah,
well. But I did the research. I did the hard part. but, you know, both those concepts are based around this word biodiversity. And we're often told, oh, it's so important. You know, you hear it a lot, right? Mm. Whenever you watch any sort of. And then, of course, in society, we have diversity of our people, which is supposedly really important to have,
exactly.
And we're supposed to be inclusive. And I totally agree on both fronts. So obviously this is a gardening show, so we're going to, you know, focus on biodiversity. Well, this is kind of plants and animals, but and, Selena, you're going to be talking about a plant that probably due to, well, it was becoming extinct.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say, extinction is actually, you'll learn this today, guys, a result of lacking biodiversity. So, mm-hmm. And you're going to talk about that. So it fits in really nicely, I think.
Okay.
So what is biodiversity? Okay. The term biodiversity, coined in 1985, is a contraction of
biological
diversity. So long term would be biological diversity.
Okay.
Biodiversity is variety of life.
Variety is the spice of
life. So that's a really simple term. I wanted to just keep it simple, to not to scare the listeners too much early on, but it's actually a super complex concept. It's the variety of life, that being the broad variety of life in all its forms and its interactions. It is actually the most complex and vital feature of our planet. So, simple concept, but really complex.
Yeah.
It is said that without biodiversity, and this was by Professor David McDonald at Oxford University, he says there is no future for humanity. So it's kind of important if you want to be alive.
Okay. I'm thinking of
Or you want your grandchildren to.
Like the other planets around us in our solar system, and you look around and like, is there any other planet that has biodiversity on it, and you go, oh, what about Mars?
Yeah.
Mercury, Venus? No.
I don't know, man. That's what it takes for a planet.
Exactly.
To,
yeah.
It's comprised of several levels. It begins with genes, then it goes to individual species, then communities of species, and finally an entire ecosystem. Finally, an entire ecosystem. So genes, species, community of species, ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And ecosystems are things like you can get a big one, like a forest or a coral reef or a mangrove system, or you can just have a micro ecosystem in your backyard. So the diversity of biodiversity
yes.
is incredible. About 1.7 million species of animals, plants and fungi have been recorded, but there are likely to be up to 100 million or more that they don't know about. You know, I think about, like, I believe that I'm a creator believer, so I believe that God created our planet and the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of like, why would you do... Why not just have one, or okay, all right, like five types of earthworm? Why do we need but is that just me being lazy or short-sighted? I don't know.
So go forth and multiply.
It got me thinking, why? What's the point, you know? If you take one single spoonful of healthy soil, you will find 10 to 50,000 different types of bacteria alone.
Okay.
So it's just nuts, like the diversity out there. And more for if you're a philosophical person, I think you are.
Oh, kind of.
A more philosophical way of viewing biodiversity is that it represents the knowledge learned by evolving species over millions of years about how to survive the varying environmental conditions Earth has experienced. If observed like that, experts warn that humanity is currently burning the library of life.
No.
I thought you'd like that, being a librarian. Yeah, so all these, yeah, so I guess species have evolved and adapted to changing conditions.
They all have their own like life stories to observe or see.
I wonder, I think the human race itself has changed somewhat. I mean, didn't people used to be like a lot shorter?
Apparently.
We've changed as well somehow.
There were giants in the old days, apparently.
But I reckon there still are. Some people are real, like, we were talking about this the other day about basketball players. Oh, this is not you and I. My husband and I were talking about basketball players and how nowadays, once upon a time, they used to be just string beans. But now you get a basketball player, like, to make the big lead with big muscles as well.
Okay.
So they're like giants. They are literally like giants. So, yeah. But, yeah. So it's interesting. For many people living in towns and cities, wildlife is often something you watch on television. However, the reality is that the air you breathe, the water you drink, and the food you eat all ultimately rely on biodiversity. Some examples are obvious. Without plants, there would be no oxygen, and without bees to pollinate, there would be no fruit or nuts. Others appear bizarre. For instance, tropical tortoises and spider monkeys seemingly have little to do with maintaining a stable climate. But the dense hardwood trees that are most effective in removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere rely on their seeds being dispersed by these large fruit eaters.
Okay.
So you might not see them as contributors to the system, but they are.
It's like spiders. We need them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Because same thing last week.
Yeah.
Well, what's the point of this eight-legged thing? Like, they're just creepy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a point.
In slugs. Well, we didn't do slugs.
That's something. We have. Remember?
Oh.
What are they called? Gastropods.
Oh, yes,
remember
we did.
That?
Yeah, we did. Sorry.
So let's take a simple agricultural field and let's just look at the biodiversity you will find in a field. Crops produce byproducts that feed humans and stock.
Mm-hmm.
The stock waste feeds the soil.
Yes.
Crop straw provides organic matter for the soil. Bacteria feed on the cellulose fibres of the straw.
Mm.
Amoebas feed on bacteria, making lignite fibres available for uptake by plants.
Yep.
Algae provide organic matter and serve as natural nitrogen fixers. Rodents that bore under the fields aerate the soil. Spiders and insects grind organic matter and leave behind enriched droppings.
Spiders.
So you've got there a whole little ecosystem all working together.
At least eight different kinds of life.
Sure I could have gone
into
more.
You could have gone on and on. And
so
you know,
that all results in a functioning little ecosystem. Sadly, the industrial farming techniques employed today deprive species within the soil of food sources. So they basically just rape the soil for everything it's got. And then to add insult to injury, assaults them with chemicals, thus destroying the biodiversity in the soil and with it the basis for the renewal of soil fertility.
Yeah, that it's not so modern anymore because it's like sort of, you know, realised that it's quite harmful and destructive. But that was when there was like a green revolution when people thought, oh, there wasn't enough to feed the whole population. Mm. And so they tried to think of other ways to boost that, but it kind of backfired on them.
I think we're learning, but there's still a lot of people. I mean, that's how you can get like, you know, fries for $1.50.
True.
You know, it's through. But, okay, for now you're getting a, you know, bang for your buck, but when there's no potatoes left, because the soil won't grow them anymore, they're diseased because of, the lack of biodiversity. It'll be like a pounder.
Exactly.
Anyway, so why is biodiversity important in case we haven't really got it yet? I'll just give you a few. Biodiversity obviously boosts the ecosystem health and productivity. A healthy, productive ecosystem can better withstand and recover from disasters. A large number of plant species means a larger variety of crops. And a larger species diversity ensures natural sustainability for all life forms. So if one does happen to become extinct, and I'm sure that happens naturally, you've got plenty in the pool to help you out. Healthy biodiversity provides a number of natural services, such as ecosystem services, like protection of water resources, soil formation and protection, nutrient storage and recycling, pollution breakdown and absorption, climate stability and recovery from unpredictable events. A healthy ecosystem provides biological resources, food, medicinal resources and pharmaceutical drugs, wood products, ornamental plants, diversity in genes. This is crucial because genetic diversity reduces the chances of extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And social services such as recreation, tourism and cultural values. This is quite a lot of services that we are getting for free. Mm-hmm. Talk about value for money, especially considering 40% of the world's economy and 80% of the needs of the poor are derived from biological resources. The cost of replacing these services, if at all possible, would be ridiculously expensive.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. I hope I have answered that question.
I now know what biodiversity is. Thank you, Karen.
So we'll get into the plan of the week with Selena. Just hopefully it's not going to be such an information overload.
It's a pretty plan.
And then we'll get into the sad thing, state of our biodiversity on planet Earth after. Right. So worth knowing. Okay.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Plant of the week is a beautiful plant by the name of Tecomanthe speciosa. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Oh, well, let me introduce you.
I feel like I'm going to.
It's actually a rare plant that is native to the Three Kings Island, sort of, it's off the coast of Cape Breanga, so it's native to our country, but it wasn't actually in our mainland.
Oh, right.
So it was only found on that island.
Yes.
As you were talking about biodiversity, before that, the lack of species diversity means it was sort of they're more vulnerable to going extinct. Well, this plant was nearly going to go extinct because it was the only one on the island.
Mm.
And so, the botanist, it was found in 1945 by the botanist by the name of George Bayliss, who worked for the Auckland Museum, and they were doing an expedition trying to find out, looking at the wildlife on the island and collecting, to see if there were different species. So this plant was found, and apparently it was the only one left on the island, and they had never seen it before.
The last living plant.
Yes. And if you're a mystery of what the plant
no
was.
No pressure. No pressure or anything. That maybe they didn't know that because they might have been thinking, oh, it might be on another island somewhere as well.
No, it was unique to the – it was a unique species.
Oh, man.
So it's a vine. It's a lovely vine with beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
And so they took some cuttings and planted them or grew them and propagated them in the DSIR, which is the Department of Scientific Research in Mount Albert.
Yes.
And got it to flower and produce seeds. And then they realised it was made a lovely garden plant And so they kind of rescued it from getting extinct.
Okay. So obviously you're going to tell us what makes it such a lovely ornamental.
It's quite a special plant. It's a vine and it has lovely creamy sort of like tube-like trumpet flowers.
Okay.
And the leaves are quite glossy and thick.
Yeah.
And the vine sort of, it doesn't put out tendrils. It's more of like a woody one that will wind itself around.
Does this plant have a, what do you call a non-scientific name? A common name?
Oh, well, Tecamanthi speciosi, yeah. Like it's a Latin name which means handsome.
Okay, I'm just wondering if this is my mum's got one of those. She's got something, a vine, a native. She's been working on getting it growing.
It could be Tecamanthi.
I don't. Doesn't sound familiar. She gave it a common name. Maybe hibiscus. No, is hibiscus? No, that doesn't.
It's not Stephanotis, is it?
I'll get back to you.
Which is similar.
But yeah, she's working on it, and finally, it's working its way to the top, and then flowers at the.
Yeah,
she's really chuffed.
So this plant, I've never been to the Three Kings Island. It's a group of islands, up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were in danger of, as you know, like on the islands that are not inhabited by humans. But when they did go on, they took like maybe rats or goats, and apparently the goats were nearly going to eat all the plants.
It's so interesting you say that, because I don't want to keep bringing it back to the biodiversity, but the spreading of rats is actually one of the main sort of invasive things that's affecting a lot of biodiversity because of our global spreading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were kind of...
They're not meant to be everywhere.
No.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a little mini eco-disaster, that one, when the settlers came, well, humans, came to New Zealand and sort of upset the balance. But it might be good in other ways, because they brought biodiversity and other useful, I guess, plants that filled other niches. So I guess it was just getting that balance, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if all this is going to sort of work itself out, but, I'm a bit doubtful.
So. So now it's become...
I think we just try and we speed everything up so much and it becomes all out of kilter.
So now it's become a really popular garden plant, which is great because now it's not the only one left on the island. And you can grow it. It likes a warm area. It doesn't like frost, so frost may kill it. And it doesn't like wet...
Which is probably why it was up north.
It doesn't like wet feet. If you know what wet feet is, it's like wet roots.
Yeah.
People call wet feet meaning doesn't like to be drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can grow it as like a... I've seen it grow really like rampant. Mm. Like it can... As a vine, it just wants to get to the light. It will grow up trees and things, but it makes amazing decorative plants, sort of like a wisteria in its growth habit, you know?
Yep, maybe that's what Mum's got in the bush there. Wisteria. Okay.
Yeah. So have a look out for Tecamanthi when you're
cream
in the
flowers,
garden
eh?
Centre. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Oh, thanks for that. I will have a look out next time I'm bushwalking. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Well, thank you for that.
Oh, welcome.
So now that you've talked about a beautiful, pretty native vine, I'm going to bring things down again and talk about why. We've got to balance it out, you see.
I see.
All about balance.
Yeah.
Diversity, you see. I'm going to talk about how biodiversity is on the decline. So billions of individual populations have been lost all over the planet, with the number of animals living on Earth having plunged by half since 1970. Mm. Scientists are calling this massive loss of wildlife a frightening assault on the foundations of human civilization. The recent revelation that 75% of flying insects were lost in the last 25 years in Germany and likely elsewhere indicates that the massacre of biodiversity is not sparing our creepy crawly world. So,
oh no, well they've been deliberately wanting to wipe them out with the chemicals.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. And insects actually really matter as pollinators,
yes.
predators of pests, decomposers of waste, and crucially as the base of many food chains that support ecosystems.
Mm. It's the tiny ones that seem to be the most important. I mean, you're always looking at wildlife, oh, save the elephants, save the whales.
Mm. It's funny, yeah.
Because they're not cute and, I don't know, visible.
If we don't see it, yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Scientists believe that if we lose the insects, then everything else is going to collapse. Even the parasites are important. One third could be wiped out by climate change, which makes them among the most threatened groups on Earth. There is concern that this could destabilize ecosystems, which would unleash unpredictable invasions of surviving parasites into new areas.
Mm.
So, what's destroying it, do you think? We are.
Yeah, well, humans.
As the human population rises every year and wild areas are flattened to create farmland, housing and industrial sites, biodiversity is severely impacted. Poaching and unsustainable hunting for food is another major factor. Pollution too is a killer. And global shipping, I just talked about that with the rats as an example, has effectively spread highly damaging invasive species around the planet. We're very effective, I must say.
Aren't we the invasive species?
I could say that about my ancestors that came to the lands of Aotearoa in 1870-something.
Well, people were saying that about Asian invasion.
Which is, yeah, in case you don't know, Celine is part Chinese, part yeah. Hong Kongese.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm almost at the end. So to date, the hardest hit of all ecosystems is that of owl. What habitat do you think is the hardest hit by owl effectiveness?
Oh. Sorry, I'm used to like pop quiz.
I put you on the spot. Oh. Freshwater habitats.
Oh, I see. Yep.
Following huge water extraction for farms and people, along with pollution and dams, animal populations in these have collapsed by a massive 81% since 1970.
Wow. I mean, like the rivers, we definitely have to clean up our rivers.
Yeah, I mean, like my mum asked me if I wanted to come to Lake Karapiro with her, which is a lake, if you're not sure, down in the Waikato, which is where I grew up. And I just thought, ugh, no.
Why?
Because the lakes around, especially in the Waikato with all the farmland,
yeah.
are disgusting.
Oh.
They're like slimy and green.
Oh.
Like it's not like, I don't know, I think I'd rather just swim in the ocean up here in smelly old Auckland. It's probably, to me, that's more appealing.
I'm not really keen on Lake Taupo anymore because, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Taupo is as bad because it's a bigger sort of water mass.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are some beautiful clear areas and cold. It's cold. But, yeah, Taupo, because what's happening is all the nitrogen and
yes.
all that is leaching
yeah.
through the soils from the lands. I guess, obviously, when you have a lake, it's
yeah.
downwards
yes.
because that's how it pulls the water.
Mm.
So these chemicals are running, and leaching down through. And it may be from, like, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've lost a lot of our wetlands, like developed them, so there's no like sponge kind of buffer area to take all that would filter it.
So, yeah, it's interesting because my husband does a bit of travelling around and he said there's areas he notices, I think he was saying, and the Hawks heading out towards the Hawke's Bay area and the flatlands out there. And he said there's rivers that he's driven over for years that were once, he recalls, really wide
yeah.
and obvious.
And now they're like a little trickle.
And in the space of 10 years,
yeah.
it's become like a trickle. Yeah, like much smaller. So even in that time, yeah, our our lifetime.
Shame.
It's quite bad. I don't know where we're at time-wise.
Still got a bit to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was all my research, but I just was wondering maybe we might have a minute to think about how we could maybe help as humans rather than not help this diversity.
Okay.
Biodiversity problem.
Bringing it back to the garden, I think keep cultivating it to include as many sort of diverse plants and animals as you can, I think.
Yeah, just avoid using harmful chemicals if you can.
Yeah.
I'm thinking very seriously about going to rainwater collection tank rather than sapping water from
the...
Although the Waikato is pretty... It's almost reached the end there, by the time it gets
okay.
to... Oh, hang on, no. It goes, no, it's still got to go through to Port Waikato. We're collecting it, I think, in the Waikato somewhere. So it's nearing the end of its journey, which isn't so bad for collection.
Okay.
It's when you're grabbing it all from where it's just starting and then it stuffs it up for the rest of its river's journey. Maybe I'm, but these are things you need to think about. How am I
contributing or?
Yeah, contributing or taking away from the ecosystem.
Yeah.
So the ecosystem, as I said, water, fresh air. What am I doing to contribute to fresh air?
Yeah.
When was the last time I planted a tree?
Yeah.
Or watered a tree?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
It's like my argument I had with my neighbour over the back of the fence. And, are you getting my washing wet when I was spraying the tree in the middle of summer?
Yeah.
Good old West Auckland arguments over the fence. And I just shouted back. I've never seen them. I said to them, well, you know, it's a tree.
Oh,
it's dying. Its leaves were falling off because it was so hot last summer at this time. But they had no, their washing was more important.
I know a
lot of people are out there going, oh, Karen, you're so inconsiderate. What the hell is wrong with you? You know, but I was like, why am I having to explain to her? I didn't realise her washing was there, by the way.
Oh.
But, just to me it seemed get your priorities right.
Yeah.
Like it was so hot, the washing would have dried in like 5 minutes, honestly.
Right. It's just water, right?
You know.
It's just water.
So I don't know. Like it's just, I said, you know, the tree's dying, man. It needs water.
Mm.
Like, because I put my sprinkler on to do the whole lot, and that's hard to control.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't, you know, it was innocent.
So, how about we just appreciate our life more, like, and plants and animals, just appreciate for what they are.
Yeah, and just educate people. Take what, you know, I know it's been a bit long-winded in parts, but take it and share the news with people, good and bad, because it's, if you don't know.
I mean, this special plant, Tekomethi, they would have never have shared it, or we would never have known about it if they hadn't gone and, you know, we're looking and trying to find, you know.
Had their eyes open.
Yeah, had their eyes open.
So,
open your eyes, have a look around, you know, see what you can do to... You know,
put your hands in your compost,
beautify,
dig
your
in
space.
There, and have a look and appreciate that biodiversity and feed it and help it. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Next topic is going to be a little less depressing.
Okay.
Well, I see that as I'm not happy about. At the end of that research, didn't feel great. As a human.
I'll have to give you a Tekomethi flower.
Yay!
I'll go find one at the garden
centre. Yes, I'm going to keep my eye out for that, for sure. Well,
happy
I think
gardening,
that's the end now.
Everyone.
All right, guys. Ka kite anō.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.